This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And a very rainy Sunday morning. There's no question about that. We're going to find out about it with TMJ4 meteorologist Brenda Johnson in just one second. But I got to ask you, Jessica, did you say another Milwaukee City bus had a problem last night? It caught on fire?
Yes. Yesterday, it caught on a bus caught on fire. No one was on the bus. It was just a mechanical
issue. Was it in operation at the time? I mean, was it on a route?
It was near 68th and Congress.
It was out there picking up passengers at the time.
Right, but no one was on the bus, but it was definitely severe enough damage to warrant it out of commission for a while.
There is something in the stars that's affecting these Milwaukee buses at this point. Okay, thank you. I know you'll keep an eye on that, and you've got a lot more we're going to talk about as the morning goes on. But before we do anything else, let's check in with TMJ4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson, because it has been a very rainy overnight period for us. And were there any areas, Brendan, there? Because I know yesterday there was, we were kind of watching out to see if severe storms would develop. But did you, as you look at the map, was there any area that was affected?
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Libby. So as of this point, you know, we did have a couple of severe thunderstorm warnings, even a couple tornado warnings last night in parts of southeastern Wisconsin. I can tell you this morning, I've been in touch with the National Weather Service. As of, you know, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock, we have not received any reports of any damage from those storms. We'll continue to keep an eye out on that because those reports do tend to take some time to come into the Weather Service. But, you know, we're waking up to a little bit of a rainy start on this Sunday morning. Temperatures in the 50s. We've got a couple of upper 40s, and we're actually near 60 at the state line, and we do have a little bit of more rain on the way later today.
Well, we did have those storms out towards Iowa in that area the other day. I mean, just devastating. Any chance that we're going to see anything like that in the next couple days, at least that you can see?
Yeah, so we've got a chance for some scattered showers today, maybe an isolated thunderstorm or two, more likely late this afternoon into the evening. And I'll tell you this, within about the last 20 minutes, the Storm Prediction Center, this is actually some good news for us, has adjusted the severe weather outlook for today. Our entire southeastern Wisconsin area has been removed from that marginal level one risk of severe weather. So the threat has gone away for severe weather today, more so confined to south central, southwestern Wisconsin. And maybe they get a storm that could produce some gusty winds and some hail. So bottom line, Libby, to answer your question, as of this point, not seeing that severe risk, in the days ahead as of this point.
You want to take any guesses on the rainfall total by the time this is all over?
You know what? We've already gotten a nice, healthy, you know, few, I'd say about 0.4 of an inch or so in Milwaukee thus far. I've got a couple of 1-plus inch reports and a 2-plus inch report near Lake Geneva. So
Whoa.
By the time all is said and done, I mean, it's really feast or famine. It really just depends on where these scattered showers are. But I could see, given today's rain, an additional perhaps 0.5 inch to maybe 1 inch of rain if you get under one of those heavier showers.
Okay, here's the question where I'm going to put you on the spot, Brendan.
Okay.
28th of April. Is it safe to plant yet, or are we going to see more freeze?
Oh, my goodness. You know, no, that is the age-old question everybody wants to know. I will tell you, Libby, we have passed the average last freeze in the city of Milwaukee. That was just a couple days ago. However, and I have to put the asterisk out there because you know as well as anybody, we're in southeastern Wisconsin. It is the land of all four seasons, and that can happen in one day. We have had freezes in these parts into mid-May, so it is still possible. I would say if you are going to go ahead and plant, you know, it's more likely we won't have freezes from this point forward. But if you do decide to plant into the ground or bring some plants outside, have a way to cover them, or at least have a way to bring them inside between now and, you know, the end of May. After the end of May, I think you're good to go.
Oh, you're hedging
you're
your bet,
go.
Brendan. So
yes.
When we get to June, we'll be okay.
Exactly.
Listen, have a great day. Stay dry.
You too. Take care, Libby.
TMJ4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson. Always fun to have him here. All right, we've got a busy show ahead. Our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen, has a warning for you about fake shopping sites. WTMJ's Eric Bilstead looks back at a shooting that happened 30 years ago today in Waukesha. And it just just such a tragedy. And we're going to look at that in depth a little bit later on. Also, if you have a child who's interested in sailing, we're going to tell you about an opportunity for them. Milwaukee rents are rising. Who does that affect the most? We've got Teddy Eichel here from the Milwaukee Business Journal. She has highlights from this week, including a Franklin facility that makes breast implants, and they're laying off workers. The reason just might surprise you. Also, speaking about surprises, there was a surprise on Top Chef this week. Matt Miller is going to tell us all about that. We're also going to be celebrating an everyday hero. We're going to look back at the week in review. Isaac's here pushing those buttons. Jessica Gatzo is in the newsroom. And in just 2 minutes, it's Mike Spaulding with sports. It's all ahead on a very rainy Sunday morning. Wisconsin Weekend Morning News, 8:14 and 48 degrees at WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber One Call That's All Sports Desk. Well, it's not do or die, but tonight's Game 4 matchup between the Bucks and Pacers is a pivotal one for Milwaukee. The Bucks will need to win in Indianapolis to avoid going down 3-1 in their opening round series of the NBA playoffs. The Bucks will likely take the floor shorthanded without either Giannis nor Dame Lillard, both of them listed as questionable. Here's head coach Doc Rivers.
You know, in the past, without him, we've had Giannis as the point, you know, with, you know, if he doesn't, then you have to just figure out something. We have guys, there's certain ways with motion offense we can play. You know, we worked a little bit on that during the 4 days, so we'll be ready.
Our coverage of tonight's game on WTMJ starts at 5:30. Around the NBA, the Lakers able to stave off elimination. They topped the Nuggets last night 119-108. The Celtics, meanwhile, topped the Heat. The Thunder dominate the Pelicans, and the Magic top the Cleveland Cavaliers. Moving on to baseball, the Brewers will try and put last night's 15-3 drubbing by the Yankees behind them as they have a chance to win the series today against the Bronx Bombers. Not a lot went right last night following Friday's walk-off winner. Here's manager Pat Murphy.
It's going to happen, I guess, you know, but I still thought there was some positives in there, and I'm going to look for that. 26 games in, it's the first time we've been beaten like that. We haven't had the winning run at the plate in the ninth inning. 26 games. So give these guys credit.
The Brewers now 17-9 on the season. They are still in first place in the NL Central. Coverage of today's game gets underway at noon here on WTMJ. Dom Catronio will be kicking things off with Brewers warm-up. First pitch set for just after 1 p.m. In the NFL, the Packers adding 11 rookies to their ranks in this year's NFL draft. The green and gold taking Arizona offensive lineman Jordan Morgan in the first round Thursday night. Then they picked up two additional linemen, a pair of linebackers, and got some help in the defensive backfield to round out the rest of their draft. I'm Mike Spaulding, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Mike. It's 8:18. We're up to 48 degrees at WTMJ. Coming up, we've got Teddy Eichel here from the Milwaukee Business Journal. We talked about the sports there, or we talked about the Bucks there. The former coach of the Bucks. Some news about his property in Milwaukee. Teddy's going to have it. And so much more. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, if you're taking the dog out this morning, have the towel ready when you get back in because you're going to have a wet puppy and probably some muddy paws. We've got those showers throughout the day with mostly cloudy and breezy conditions, a high of 53 degrees. Then tonight, showers and storms are going to be likely, mostly cloudy down to 48. Tomorrow, early in the day, chance of some showers and storms. It'll be cloudy throughout the day with a high of 70 degrees. Finally, on Tuesday, we'll see some sunshine with a high of 68. And on Wednesday, another chance of some showers early in the day and a high of 71 degrees. Currently in Oak Creek, it's 50 degrees. Waukesha is 51. Plymouth is 47. 48 degrees at 8:21 on WTMJ. It's time to check in with Teddy Eichel. She is a reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Big story this week about a large national pharmaceutical company that's going to be opening a facility in Pleasant Prairie. Tell us a little bit about this, Teddy, because I know you've been doing a lot of work on the story.
Yeah, so the company is called Eli Lilly and Company. They just are known as Lilly. They're based in Indianapolis, and people have probably heard of the drugs that they make. They're a billion-dollar drug company. They're credited with developing the first insulin Adrenaline, the earliest polio vaccine, and Prozac. So they're obviously a major company, and they just bought a facility in Pleasant Prairie from a smaller drug company called Nexus Pharmaceuticals. It's an 84,000 square foot facility. They're going to use it to make injectable medicine, and they haven't said how many employees they plan to have, but they do plan to hire some of the Nexus employees, and they say they're going to begin production by the end of 2025.
Lilly is a big player in the pharmaceutical industry. So I'm sure that, at least I hope, there's going to be a lot more opportunities for employment.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see when we learn more about what their plans are for the number of employees. And Nexus, the company that's selling the facility, really set the stage for this. So again, they're a smaller family-owned pharmaceutical company. They invested $100 million, built this facility recently. They just completed it in 2021, and they had big plans. They said it was going to support 77 jobs, and then they had more expansion plans. They were going to eventually employ 400 workers and build additional facilities. So we're not actually sure what their plans are and why they decided to sell the facility, but local officials have been, you know, very complimentary for this smaller company for kind of setting the stage for a big company like Lilly to come in. You know, they're just saying it kind of adds to the strength of the region's economy along that I-94 corridor that we always hear about with, you know, attracting these world-class employers.
Another facility I want to ask you about, and that's in Franklin. I was surprised that we had this going on in the area, and that's a breast implant company, and they're laying off 128 local employees. Didn't know they were there. Who are they, and why are they laying off people?
Yeah, I had no idea either. I think this is probably a surprise to a lot of people. So the company is called Sientra. They're a public company. They're based in California, and they've had a presence in Franklin since about 2016. They have this facility where they manufacture breast implants for plastic surgery. They sell them to hospitals, surgery centers, plastic surgeons. The company recently filed for bankruptcy in February, and they recently notified the state of Wisconsin through their companies are required to tell the state when they plan to lay off large numbers of people. So they plan to lay off 128 employees this summer. The company, interestingly, said it had a big, they called it a Zoom boom during the pandemic. People, I guess, were on Zoom and there was an increase in demand for breast implants. But the company has said that's kind of fallen off in the last couple of years. And so they cited that as potentially a reason for their bankruptcy. They are entering into an agreement with a different company to acquire some of their assets. So it's possible that this new company will actually offer employment to some Sientra employees. We'll have to wait and see. But this company that's taking over some of Sientra's assets is called Tiger Aesthetic Medical.
All right, let's talk about Bayshore Mall, because there are three properties that have been up for sale within the mall, and they recently dropped their prices. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so everyone loves and knows Bayshore and Glendale. The Target building, a building that has a U.S. bank, and then a third building that has Crumbl Cookies and First Citizen. All three buildings are up for sale. And the mall has said this is kind of a normal course of their business. They're looking to sell it to maybe an investor. And all the properties are leased for several years. Like the Target, for instance, is leasing that space for the next 11 years. So the sale's not likely to change anything for shoppers or for operations, at least right now. But the stores have been on the market for a couple of months, and the sellers just reduced their prices. So Target, for example, I believe is now down to $13 million. It was previously offered at around $14 million. So I talked to the broker who is marketing these properties, and he said they've seen interest, but still a tough economy with interest rates, and that's why they've decided to lower the prices.
Will that mean that Target would be moving out of the mall?
No, likely not. I mean, we don't know for sure, but they are in a lease. They have 11 more years left on their lease, and so likely whoever buys it, you know, again, it's likely to be an investor, would want to keep that lease in place. Target's paying rent. They're likely to keep paying rent. And so they would be unlikely to change anything up. So likely, again, shoppers there probably won't see a difference. It'll just be a change in ownership.
We're talking with Teddy Nichol from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Teddy, let's go to Wauwatosa. They're always arguing about potential apartment buildings there. There's another one. And what issues are they facing?
Wauwatosa, a lot of people know of the area's downtown area. They call it Tosa Village. There's a Cafe Hollander. There's the river, a lot of shopping, restaurants. Recently, there's a church right in the middle of the downtown area called St. Bernard. And the church announced last month that they are merging with a different church to kind of help some financial issues. And they decided to sell the church to a developer. So the developer is Three Leaf Partners, and this is a very active developer in the area. It's actually co-founded by Milwaukee Bucks player Pat Connaughton. They're proposing to build 163 apartments. It would cost $46 million. And, you know, they say it would kind of help the economy, help bring more people to support the businesses, help with housing. Obviously, there's a housing shortage, but we had a recent meeting and a lot of people showed up to kind of share their opinions on it.
What else is new in Tulsa, right? You mentioned the Bucks, and of course, they're in the playoffs, but their former coach listed his Milwaukee condo for sale. Why is this an interesting story?
Yes, another Bucks story. You know, they're in the playoffs right now, so it's top of mind. And the former coach, Mike Budenholzer, Bucks fired him after last year's season, and he had two homes in the area that we know of. He had a Big Lake home in Waukesha County, which he sold last summer for $7 million, but he had been holding on to this downtown condo in the Third Ward. He had actually been renting it out. He was charging $12,000 a month, which is, you know, even more than those expensive apartments going up in the Couture right now. So he was earning some money with rent, but I guess he's putting on the market, deciding to sell the condo. So, you know, maybe this is him finally moving on from Milwaukee, cutting ties with the properties he's owned here. So he just listed that condo for $1.35 million. So yeah, we'll see who the buyer is. But there's high demand for condos, luxury condos, especially downtown. This building's right along the river in the Marine Terminal Loft Building. So I'm sure it won't stay on the market for long.
And I bet it has really high ceilings.
Yes.
All right, finally, got to ask you about the former Big Boy site in Germantown. What's going in there?
Yeah, everyone loves Big Boy. This story has really been trending on our website this week. It's been one of our most popular stories this week, I think because people are just interested to see what's going in there. So the new restaurant that's going to go in is called The Supper Club. It's a take on, you know, the classic Wisconsin Supper Club concept, and it's by the owners of The Stillery, which is another restaurant that has locations in Richfield and Grafton. They're opening a third restaurant in the area, but this new concept, again, is going to be called The Supper Club. I think people will be interested to try it out.
Teddy Nykel from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Libby.
And that was Teddy on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline. It's 828 on WTMJ. And welcome back to the second half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. A very rainy Sunday morning. But let's take a look back, because two high-profile cases were involving Donald Trump this week. Tensions were rising on college campuses around the nation, and there was an emotional conversation on Parkinson's, and so much more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
Mount Pleasant police initially stopped 31-year-old Lamar Hackett for speeding near Green Bay Road and Biscayne Avenue on Sunday. He then sped away, crashed the car, and ran off into the woods.
Now it's Miles Turner on Lillard. He's going to launch one anyway. And he drills it. Damian Lillard has not met a defender that can slow him down tonight. He is cooking with Crisco now.
Knowledge receipt, enter a not guilty plea subject to our substitution request. Thank you.
There was silence in the courtroom as Maxwell Anderson, the man charged with killing and dismembering Sade Robinson, pleaded not guilty to his alleged crimes.
A full 12-person jury with six additional alternates sworn in a historic criminal trial of a former president.
I'm here instead of being able to be in lots of other places campaigning, and it's very unfair.
Tensions are rising and fueling the pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses.
They held signs saying NYPD out of CUNY, NYPD out of Harlem.
I am here today calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately bring order to this chaos.
At Atlantis Emory University, nearly 30 people calling for an end to the war in Gaza were arrested after Georgia troopers used pepper balls to control the crowd.
We haven't seen that violence come to our campus. I do believe it's because we really stress, you know, finding common ground with people that are different than you.
A Milwaukee firefighter who almost died in a fire earlier this month is recovering.
In an exclusive interview, Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky tells us the firefighter is recovering to burns on almost 50% of his body.
This is going to be a long haul for him to recover.
Denim Day was started as a response to an incident that happened in Italy in the 90s. Over the last 10 years, we've grown into the nation's largest nonprofit program.
The motion does not pass.
Today's failed vote at the WIAA's annual meeting in Stevens Point sends leaders back to the drawing board when it comes to name, image, and likeness.
On the high school
school level. We're not selling Devin Harris jerseys. We're just trying to get opportunities for these kids to play. That's what it's all about.
We will hear argument this morning in case 23-939, Trump versus United States.
Not lost on the bench, the stakes of this constitutional moment.
If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he's can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
It could, and why?
If they don't get this figured out, define what an official act is, what are we doing in our justice system?
High fly ball out to right. Back is Reynolds. At the track. Wall gone! El Kraken gives the Brewers the lead.
Release the Kraken.
The Green Bay Packers and hosts for the 2025 NFL Draft. Jordan Morgan, tackle, Arizona.
Oh.
Yay.
Can't wait to get to Green Bay and get to work. Go, Pat, go.
Usually, if you listen to the show regularly, right now we do the 3 at 3. We have a very special hour that we're doing instead during this 3 o'clock hour, and it's a deeper look at Parkinson's, early onset Parkinson's. And I'm honored to be joined in the studio by Julia and her husband, Jason Klapa.
I made a promise to all of you who are listening and everyone here at 620 WTMJ that when I was hired, I was going to share all of myself. And what happened to my husband and the disease that we are now facing is a huge part of our lives now.
It's not a death sentence. Life is not over. You know, your life will be different. It'll be harder, but keep fighting. Things will get better.
He certainly is an inspiration to me.
What a week.
Hop it up, hop it up.
Big sack of birdies.
Keep fighting. Things will get better.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
And the Weekend Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. I really admire Julia telling that story. I lost a brother to a form of Parkinson's disease in the last year. And I'll tell you, it is a battle. There's no question about it for all of you out there who are facing it in your family. It's 8:40. It is 48 degrees at WTMJ. A very rainy Sunday morning. Coming up, if you do any online shopping, watch out. You might be paying the wrong place. That's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Admit it, we all do a lot of online shopping, but when you hit pay, are you paying the right source? Joining us is our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen, with some tips to know whether or not you are on a fake online shopping site. And tell us all about it, Michelle.
Yeah, we've recently heard from a number of consumers that have been making what they think are online purchases from well-known companies, trustworthy companies even, like Sirius XM Radio and Dick's Sporting Goods, only to find out that they've actually given their payment information to a sophisticated scam. We've talked in the past about these copycat websites or imposter lookalike companies that are online, but we're seeing more and more reports of consumers being taken. These websites look nearly identical to a company's real sales platform. And what's happening is you click on those links or you go to that fake website, and you're being impacted by fraud because you think you're at Amazon, Walmart. Even the Green Bay Packers official pro shop had been impacted last fall. And when you go to make your purchase, you've handed over your financial information to the scammer, and you come to find out that your goods will never be received because you weren't at the legitimate website.
So what are some things to look at as you are going ahead and making that payment?
Yeah, it can be difficult to tell that the site you are using is the fake, but you really need to double check that the web address is where you want to be. First of all, it helps to just type it in yourself. But if you've clicked a link, really pay attention to the URL where you've been taken. Look for little differences. Let's just use DadCap, dadcap.wisconsin.gov, versus if someone put a fake dadcap.wigov. Something else, or an Amazon.com versus Amazon.SpringSaleCheckout.com. You know, you might not really notice because it was a spring sale that shouldn't be part of the URL. It's just an imposter setting up a fake to redirect you and hand your personal information like your email, username, and password to them. So be very cautious. of these websites. And again, type them in yourself as opposed to using links if you're really looking for that deal.
If after the fact you figure out you gave a fake website your login information, what should you do?
Well, immediately go to the legitimate website and change your password so they can't get at your account information. And also, hopefully you've used a credit card when making that online purchase so you can dispute any charges and notify your credit card company so they can stop payment as well. But from there, you just need to monitor your statements and really analyze what personal information you may have given them so you can be on guard.
And Michelle, finally, if you think you're getting ripped off, give us that consumer protection hotline.
1-800-422-7128.
It's 8:45. Coming up next, Mike Spaulding in sports right here on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber One Call That's All sports desk. It isn't do or die today. However, tonight's Bucks game, it's a game four matchup between the Bucks and Pacers, will be a pivotal one for Milwaukee as they hope to avoid a 3-1 series hole in the opening round of the NBA playoffs. The Bucks will likely be shorthanded tonight. Both Giannis and Dame Lillard are nursing injuries, head coach Doc Rivers.
The series is as close as it possibly could be after three games, you know, when you think about it. I'll let you guys figure out the rest of that one. So, that's what we do. This is the playoffs, and things happen. Obviously, you don't want injuries to happen, but when they do, you have to just pull in for one game until you figure you get more guys back, and that's how you have to do it.
Coverage of tonight's game on WTMJ starts at 5:30. Around the NBA, LeBron James and the Lakers will live to play yet at least one more game. They topped the Denver Nuggets last night, 119-108. The Celtics, meanwhile, they topped the Heat. The Thunder dominate the Pelicans, and the Magic beat the Cavs. Moving on to Major League Baseball, the Brewers will try and put last night's 15-3 loss to the Yankees behind them. They have an opportunity to win that series today, no matter how bad last night looked. They did have a walk-off win on Friday. Manager Pat Murphy chalking up last night's loss to the game.
It's going to happen, I guess, you know, but I still thought there was some positives in there, and I'm going to look for that. 26 games in, it's the first time we've been beaten like that. We haven't had the winning run at the plate in the ninth inning. 26 games. So give these guys credit.
The Brewers now 17-9 on the season, still in first place in the NL Central. Coverage of today's game on WTMJ starts at noon with Brewers warm-up. First pitch set for just after 1 p.m. And in the NFL, the Packers adding 11 rookies to their ranks during this weekend's NFL draft. I'm Mike Spaulding, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Mike. It is a rainy Sunday morning. 48 degrees is your temperature right now. When's it going to end? I'll tell you right after this. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
Well, that rain started late yesterday afternoon, and it is going to continue throughout today. We'll get up to about 53 degrees for a high. Then tonight, they'll continue. More showers and storms are likely with a low of 48. Tomorrow, we might start out with them early in the day, but then it's going to turn mostly cloudy and breezy with a high temperature of 70 degrees. And we'll finally see the sun on Tuesday with a high of 68 degrees. Right now in Mequon, we have 46 degrees. Brookfield has 49. Lake Geneva's all the way up to 59 degrees. And we have 48 at WTMJ at 8:52. And it's time to check in on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline with media critic and pop culture editor from onmilwaukee.com, Matt Miller. Matt? The film festival is over. It means that you can get a little sleep.
Yes, I could finally see what the sun looks like again. It was terrific. I saw some really great movies at the Milwaukee Film Festival. The closing night movie, I just turned into a snotty, sobby mess. It was just beautiful and lovely and charming. And hopefully that one comes back.
Now, what movie was that?
That was called Robot Dreams. It's an animated movie. It was actually nominated for Best Animated Film at these last Oscars. A lonely dog who buys himself a robot to be his friend. And it's just this lovely movie about friendship and love and being, you know, torn apart and coming back together and how much those friendships mean to people.
And they never explained in that film how the dog could afford a robot, I suppose.
I think that would make the movie significantly more boring to learn about how the economy works in this dog animal society.
In a nutshell, though, how do you rate this year's Milwaukee Film Festival as compared to other years?
Ooh, that's tough. I do think this is maybe one of the better years we've had, probably since the pandemic. This was all fully in theaters again, I believe, for the first time. And the movies were all really good. I think some people are still not used to the fact that it's in spring as opposed to fall. But I think spring results in being more useful to Milwaukee and getting more good movies guaranteed on the lineup, as opposed to in the fall where you're kind of battling with some of the bigger Oscar-y kind of festivals like Toronto and Venice and New York Film Festival and all of those big ones. So I think it was great, and there was really good crowds throughout a lot of the film festival. I saw a lot of really packed houses across all of the theaters. It was really a joy.
Well, the other part is those theaters where you were are still open and they're still showing movies.
Yes, we cannot forget the film festival may be over, but the Donner, the Oriental, the Rosebud, the Avalon, all these neighborhood theaters are still open and watching movies, especially, like I said, the Donner. You know, they've got movies again, too. They are showing full time now that the Milwaukee Film has taken it over. And I really don't want people, now that Milwaukee Film has taken over the Donner, I don't want people to, you know, clap their hands together and be like, well, that's done. That's fine. We still need to support these places. You still need to go see the movies if you want these movie theaters to be up and running still. The good news is, if you missed some movies at the Milwaukee Film Festival, the Oriental, the Donner, and even some Marcus theaters are showing some of the movies that we're showing that you might have missed. So if you missed out on La Camera and The Beast and We Grown Now, three of the best reviewed movies of the entire festival, those are back at the Oriental and the Downer and even some Marcus locations. So make sure to check that out. They're really great movies. And like I said, these theaters are still trying to get back on their feet after the pandemic and after the dual strikes. So definitely make sure to keep showing your support and seeing great movies in the process.
Let's talk about a film that's getting a whole lot of buzz. They've been all over TVs. It's been a film called Challengers.
Yeah, this is Zendaya as a former tennis superstar who's kind of in this love triangle with two other tennis superstars who want her to be their coach and maybe their wife too. Really, really interesting. It's an original movie. It's sexy. It's interesting. It's dynamic. You know, we talk a lot about, oh, Hollywood only makes sequels. Where's the original movies? Well, here's an original movie, everybody. Let's show up for the original movie, please. You know, if we do, maybe they'll make more.
When you see co-stars do as many public appearances and interviews as they're doing, does that usually tell you that's a good film or this is one that maybe could be iffy once you get inside the theater?
I think it tells you that this is one that they really want people to go see. They're putting in the effort, you know? Sometimes these movies kind of get buried. I mean, look what happened to the Ghostbusters movie that everyone forgot came out a month ago.
It did?
Whereas, yeah, I know. Hard to believe. But when it's an original movie like this, when it's kind of a hard sell, it's a tennis romance drama, not exactly, you know, a comic book movie or something like that. That's an easy win. But the studio's really putting effort behind it and putting people out there and putting advertisements out there. And that tells me they think they have a winner here. And the early reviews have agreed. And it's got an awesome score from Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, who are the guys who did the score for The Social Network, which is still one of the best scores out there. So really, I think it's definitely worth taking a swing at this one.
All right. Now, we got to go to Top Chef. Conspiracy theorists are on alert because they threw a ringer in there this week.
They did. So Sue, who has been like the bonus contestant fighting it out in Last Chance Kitchen, finally got graduated to the main show. And I think everyone's like, oh, this dude's like a contender. Like, this dude isn't a guy who got eliminated and now is going to get a second chance. This dude probably should have been a part of the main cast. We should have just had him on the main cast rather than Hat Guy on episode one. That would have worked out better for everybody. But yeah, I'm really interested to see what's going to happen with Sue. And I'll be interested to see him in an episode that isn't as bizarre as last week's Chaos Kitchen one. I was not particularly fond of this week, as I don't think anyone knew what the challenge was supposed to be.
Let me ask you this, though. If you were a contestant who had been, you know, for weeks doing all these challenges and competing against several people, would you resent that somebody just comes in more than halfway through the competition?
It's tricky because I think there is a part of me that doesn't love this kind of, you know, bringing people back who've been eliminated. And I think if they...
But it's not even that he was eliminated. Like you said, he probably should have been in the cast to begin with. Why didn't they do that?
I'm not sure if there was a casting issue or a timing issue, or they just wanted to have this kind of twist of them bringing in this bonus contestant from Last Chance Kitchen. But yeah, they've been doing Last Chance Kitchen for about 10, 11 seasons mm-hmm. now. There always is something weird about, normally people come back for the finale, essentially, and it's very kind of strange for someone who got eliminated, who failed on the show, to get a chance to win, to get so close. But I do think they earn it on Last Chance Kitchen. I do think it's not just, you know, something that they're just doing for extra drama. And in a lot of cases, it pays out and actually ends up being worthwhile. Because like Kristen Kish, she was eliminated unjustly her season, and then she came back through Last Chance Kitchen, and she won her season as a result. So in a way, it kind of helps make up for, you know, injustices.
What was the reaction at the watch party? When Sue came on all of a sudden and everybody looked around and said, who is this guy?
Most of the people were in tune. They had the pulse of what was going on. I'll be honest, the big reaction at our viewing party at Zocalo was Rossica getting the boot. And, you know, yeah. Rossica's kind of been a front runner for much of this early part of the season with her kind of quirky flavor combinations. But yeah, totally fell flat this week on this Chaos Cuisine Challenge. And now she's gone. And maybe she'll come back through Last Chance Kitchen. She has the talent to, but when you're using such weird flavor combinations, that can be a double-edged sword, you know? It can make you really stand out, or one bad dish can mean that's the end of your run entirely.
All right, so if you want to watch Top Chef with a lot of other fans this Wednesday, where are you guys going to be this week?
We're going to be at Zocalo again, 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. Me and my colleague Lori Frederick, it's always a good time. They've got drink discounts. We got the show on with audio and with subtitles, so no matter what, you'll know what's going on the show. And if Dan has another good week, you'll hear us all cheering from down the block.
Matt Miller, it's always great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
We're coming up to 9 o'clock, and as we get back from the news, it was 30 years ago today. A terrible, terrible tragedy occurred in Waukesha, and we lost a really, really great law enforcement officer, and we're going to revisit that story. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And it is a very overcast, rainy day. And I think, you know, there are some days that just bring you down a little bit. And it's part of what happened 30 years ago today. This is a very sad day to observe it, because it was the day that Ted and James Oswald had a shootout in Waukesha County. They were father and son from Watertown, and they are now serving life in prison for a deadly crime spree that took the life of Waukesha Police Captain James Lutz. It was in 1994. It wasn't like today. It was a very cool Thursday morning when the Oswalds led law enforcement on a very long chase, before they were ultimately captured following a shootout with police, and it was all caught on camera. WTMJ's Eric Bilstead shares what happened through the eyes of three people who were there that day.
I did not know when I was leaving the newsroom that I would end up being in the middle of a shootout that day, but that's exactly what happened.
911, we just got robbed. This is Angie calling from Bank One in Wales.
I'm Renee Riddle. Back in 1994, I was a TV news reporter for Channel 12 News. I was one of the few people that was in the newsroom at that early hour when we got call of an officer down in Waukesha County.
Officer down, shots fired at the police.
My name is Steven Peterson. I was assigned to the Detective Bureau with the Waukesha County Sheriff's Department, and we were conducting surveillance on a location that we were potentially going to execute a search warrant.
I was District Attorney Paul Booker. I was sitting in a circuit court handling calendar call, nothing special, and my Deputy DA, Michael Bundy, at the time, came up to me, and I knew something wasn't good, and he whispered in my ear, and I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, he was shot and killed." I'm like, "Oh my God." So I ran downstairs and off we went.
I'm hearing clearly radio traffic that indicated to me that something serious was going on. I didn't know what it was.
The assignment editor at the time just saw me, saw the first photographer, and said, "You and Bobby hit the road." And so Bobby and I just followed the action. It was obvious that this was a hot pursuit.
Every 15 seconds, there was a new report. The high-speed pursuit, stolen car, abandoned down the road. They were on foot, hijacked another car at Interstate Printing. I remember all these places.
I heard someone jump on the air and just said, "Call out SWAT, call out SWAT."
They were escaping the scene of the crime where they had executed Captain James Lutz.
The first place we went was where Captain Lutz was executed on Waukesha and Woodridge Lane there. And I remember looking in the car. I saw Jim, who was just in my office, actually. But he came in to talk to me about a case. He was not happy with my decision. In this case, I saw him holding a shotgun in his hand, and his foot was on the brake. His lights were activated. Car was running, and I won't get into gruesome detail, but it'll be seared in my brain forever.
At this point, I have no idea that there's been a bank robbery, shooting, and killing of a City of Waukesha police officer. I have no idea of that. I just know that it sounds like there's some type of a hostage situation going on Oak Street.
Bobby and I just followed the action, and that took us to a park in Waukesha County, Oak Park.
Clearly, additional help was needed.
James and Ted had broken into a house, taken a woman, Judy Opat, hostage.
They had broken in the patio window and entered the house. And so that's where we went, and we staged right outside Oak Park. I remember sitting in the FBI van.
As I arrive on the location, it is at that time that Jim and Ted Oswald start driving this van that they had taken from the hostage.
Literally had just gotten the camera out of the trunk of the car when all of a sudden a van comes barreling down the road. Police had set up a blockade. And before we knew it, we found ourselves in the middle of a full-fledged shootout.
Unbelievable. They come out shooting, which of course nobody expected. And they are shooting hundreds of rounds out the side. Some of these were armor-piercing bullets. They're blue-tipped.
Officers were taking cover behind their vehicle. The Oswalds were firing their rounds. They were going right through.
Deputy Linda Lorenz, and she fires six rounds. Perfect circle into the windshield. Just absolutely perfect. And as a result of those rounds that Deputy Lorenz, now retired, fired, he veered to the right. They struck that tree at a high rate of speed. The hero of Oak Street was the oak tree. And you can hear Officer Loren scream, "Yoo-hoo!"
Show me your hands!
They clearly were trapped in the vehicle as a result of the crash.
It took 2 hours after the crash for James and Ted Oswald to be extracted from that van. The Waukesha SWAT team literally had to bring in snow plows to act as cover.
Is there anybody on our team that knows how to drive a V-type snow plow? We were fortunate that we had somebody that was able to do that.
Jim had a gun under his seat, and he couldn't reach it because of his injuries. Had he reached it, I don't know if he would have had these trials. I don't know, I'm guessing.
Eric Bilstead, first of all, did an amazing job.
Great job.
On bringing this all together and showing what happened that day. We've got Jessica Gatzo here. And Jessica, there's so much more to that story in terms of background. It's chilling to hear what happened that day and to realize, first of all, that Captain James Lutz was only 57 years old. And of course, the Waukesha Police Training Complex is named in his honor. But the people who were involved that day, it's amazing their recall of it and how emotional they must still be 30 years later.
Right. And Renee Riddle saying how she's now 57 years old, and as she reflects on that 30 years ago.
Yeah. Is she still in the business? Is she still a reporter? Do we know?
I believe so.
And then also you've got former DA Paul Bucher, and they worked very hard to make sure that Ted and James Oswald would never get out of prison. They've got double life sentences, and I don't think there's ever going to be parole for either of them, and they certainly shouldn't. But, you know, the interesting thing about this is because it was all captured on video, that literally police departments around the world have used this as training.
Right. Like, and something about the guns that Waukesha police would end up using, the change to firearms law for the law enforcement there after that video.
Yeah. A lot of things changed after that, and rightfully so. But again, kudos to Eric Bilstead for putting that together, because that you felt like you were there. He did a great job on that. Jessica, I know you'll have more throughout the day on that story. And again, it was 30 years ago today that Captain James Lutz was murdered. Mm-hmm. And
you can see some of that video on the website as well if that story just talks about.
Yeah, Captain Lutz. And if you want to see that raw video, if you want to hear more stories from the day, text the word Oswald to the WTMJ Talk and text line. If you didn't get the number, I'll give it to you right now. It's 855-616-1620. And speaking about that, at 9:17, we're going to get to sports in just a second. But honoring those who dedicate their lives to keeping us safe, WTMJ is highlighting first responders who went above and beyond this past year through Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. You can nominate your first responder now at WTMJ.com or on the WTMJ mobile app. The nomination period is open through May 10th, and finalists are going to be recognized during Hero Week, May 20th through May 24th. Help us to tell your stories. Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. It's 9:18, 48 degrees at WTMJ. Sports up next.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber One Call That's All Sports Desk. Well, it's not do or die, but tonight's Game 4 matchup between the Bucks and Pacers is a pivotal one for Milwaukee. The Bucks will need to win in Indianapolis to avoid going down 3-1 in their opening round series of the NBA playoffs. The Bucks will likely take the floor shorthanded without either Giannis nor Dame Lillard, both of them listed as questionable. Here's head coach Doc Rivers.
You know, in the past, without him, we've had Giannis as the point, you know, with, you know, if he doesn't, then you have to just figure out something. We have guys, there's certain ways with motion offense we can play. You know, we worked a little bit on that during the 4 days, so we'll be ready.
Now, coverage of tonight's game on WTMJ starts at 5:30. Around the NBA, the Lakers able to stave off elimination. They topped the Nuggets last night 119-108. The Celtics, meanwhile, topped the Heat. The Thunder dominate the Pelicans, and the Magic top the Cleveland Cavaliers. Moving on to baseball, the Brewers will try and put last night's 15-3 drubbing by the Yankees behind them as they have a chance to win the series today against the Bronx Bombers. Not a lot went right last night following Friday's walk-off winner. Here's manager Pat Murphy.
It's going to happen, I guess, you know, but I still thought there was some positives in there, and I'm going to look for that. 26 games in, it's the first time we've been beaten like that. We haven't had the winning run at the plate in the ninth inning for 26 games, so give these guys credit.
The Brewers now 17-9 on the season. They are still in first place in the NL Central. Coverage of today's game gets underway at noon here on WTMJ. Dom Catronio will be kicking things off with Brewers warm-up. First pitch set for just after 1 p.m. In the NFL, the Packers adding 11 rookies to their ranks in this year's NFL draft. The green and gold taking Arizona offensive lineman Jordan Morgan in the first round Thursday night. Then they picked up two additional linemen, a pair of linebackers, and got some help in the defensive backfield to round out the rest of their draft. I'm Mike Spaulding, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Mike. It's 9:22. Lots of rain out there. How long is it going to last? We'll tell you right after this on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
It's raining men.
It's raining something out there. Those storms are going to continue throughout the day. Lots of rain today with a high of 53 degrees. Then tonight, those showers and storms are going to continue down to 48. Tomorrow, it looks like we'll start the day with some showers, but then it's going to clear up a little bit, still be cloudy with a high of 70. And finally, on Tuesday, we're going to have some sunshine with a high of 68 degrees. Germantown right now is at 47. West Allis has 50. Kenosha's at 52. And it WTMJ has 48 degrees at 925.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
Welcome to the Sunday Sip. I am host Steve Scafidi from the Political Power Hour. But today we're going to talk about something I love, and that's the Salute to Service. Our great partner for Salute to Service for many years has been Waterstone Bank. And we are joined by Bill Bruss, president and CEO of Waterstone Bank. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I love the relationship we've had with Waterstone Bank, and I certainly love doing the Salute to Service. I always ask this question right out of the gates. Why does Waterstone Bank partner with us for Salute to Service? What's your commitment there?
Well, you know, Steve, we're a community bank, and, a little bit selfishly, the strong, stable, vibrant communities really make the banking part a lot easier. But supporting things that enrich and develop our communities is a commitment and passion that we've had for a number of years. When we talk specifically about Salute to Service, the first responders really are the backbone of our neighborhoods, providing the safety, the security, and the stability that these communities need to thrive and flourish. We recognize the vital role that the local heroes play, and partnering with WTMJ and Salute to Service is just a great opportunity for us to support our local first responders and reflects the importance that we hold and the role that they play.
And for those listening out there this morning, our nomination process is open. So if you go to WTMJ.com, you just click on the Salute to Service banner, you can submit a nomination. All I really need is name, maybe departments, a contact number or email, and tell us the story in a couple paragraphs or less. So I love the fact, Bill, that you used the term community, because any of us who bank, whatever bank you belong to, whatever bank you use, the branches touch the community in every city they're in, right?
Oh, absolutely. We are the banks that are, whether it's Waterstone or another community bank, we're the banks that are providing you the financing for your homes, the safe places to save and invest your money. And other banks like us are giving back to the communities as well.
One of the things I've talked about in previous years, and Waterstone Bank has joined us for Salute to Service, is the Heroes Program. Explain it to folks and tell them a little bit about how they can get involved.
Yeah, the Hero Program is a checking account program that we offer to first responders. It's a program that's specifically tailored to them and to healthcare professionals, and it provides the typical financial security you'd expect with a banking relationship, as well as more convenient or convenient banking solutions. There's a large range of benefits that we offer through that program, including things like no-fee ATM transactions, seamless overdraft protection transfers, complimentary money orders and checks, and a whole host of other benefits as well.
We're talking on the Sunday Sip with Bill Bruss, President and CEO of Waterstone Bank. I know you guys do a lot more than just the Heroes Program and our help on Salute to Service. Talk about some of those things that you do. I know National Night Out is part of the plan of action.
It's a big one. We support National Nights Out in all the communities that we are in. Our primary focuses through our charitable giving and through our volunteerism are focused around community development, education, support for women and children, veterans initiatives, and of course, our first responders and healthcare professionals. You know, we have supported things from the community baby shower to organizations like Sojourner Family Peace Center and Children's Hospital. And, of course, the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, which we have coming up this summer.
Want to always give our friends at Waterstone Bank a chance to give a personal message to the heroes that we bring forward in the Salute to Service. So give us your personal message as president and CEO of Waterstone Bank.
Well, we're grateful to all the heroes in our community who keep us safe and healthy every day. They're selfless dedication, their unwavering commitment to making our neighborhood safer, stronger, and our futures brighter. is essential to the strength of these communities, and we thank them for their service, their sacrifice, their courage. They're the heartbeat of our community, and we're grateful for everything they do.
Bill, I love Waterstone Bank. I love working Waterstone Bank. It's not just about Salute to Service, and I know that you guys have a tremendous community involvement, but if folks want to find out more about Waterstone Bank and what you can do when it comes to financing people's future homes, some of the ventures they do in their lives, how can they find out more about Waterstone Bank?
Well, the first stop might be our website, which is WSBOnline.com. We're also in 14 offices throughout Milwaukee County, Waukesha County, and Waukesha County. They can also get in touch through our website with our charitable foundation to identify opportunities where we might support other community initiatives.
It's called Soup to Service. Our partners, our great partners, Waterstone Bank. Bill Bruss has joined us on the Sunday Sip. If you want to find out more, go to WTMG.com, click on the Salute to Service banner. Bill Bruss, thanks for taking the time on the Sunday Sip.
Thank you, Steve. Very glad to be with you.
This has been the Sunday Sip on WTMJ.
Welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's 9:37, and let's go to the Tri-County Contracting Hotline. The Milwaukee metro area ranks as the fifth most competitive rental market in America, and that's according to a Forbes Advisors new study. And joining us is Alexandra Kramer. She knows all about this study. And tell me the greatest challenge renters face today, particularly in the Milwaukee metro area.
Staying within budget, affording move-in costs, and finding a rental in a desirable location ranked as the top three challenges among renters in America in a recent Forbes Advisor survey of 2,000 renters. In the Milwaukee area specifically, it ranked as the highest rental price increase from 2023 to 2024 out of the 75 most populous metro areas nationwide. It did tie with the Boston area in this metric specifically, so it increased $200 from 2023 to 2024, which is a significant price increase in the rental market specifically. So staying within initial budget could be a challenge among the Milwaukee rental market.
With this study, did they show what the average rental is in the area?
The median rental price in Milwaukee is actually $1,250 versus our study average, which is $1,803. So it actually ranked as the eighth lowest median rental price. I think that the thing that really hurt the Milwaukee rental area was the price shift, which was $200 increasing between 2023 to 2024. So although it's not as competitive in median rental price itself, prices are increasing, which creates a more competitive rental market in the Milwaukee area specifically.
Do you have any information on the vacancy rate in the area?
Yeah, absolutely. The rental vacancy rate in the Milwaukee area is 3.7 as of 2023, which is nearly 4 percentage points lower than it was in 2022, showing that the vacancy rate is shifting in a negative way. This was the fifth most significant shift towards a lower vacancy rate among the areas that we analyzed in our report.
Now, as you looked at your projections, at what rate will rents rise over the next few years?
So while we do not project rent prices in our study, unfortunately, we can report that the rent prices decreased by $36 on average from 2023 to 2024 among the 75 most populated metro areas analyzed in our study.
Was there anything in the study that indicated the age range of renters? Are we talking about a younger population, empty nesters, professionals?
According to the U.S. Census, millennials and Gen Zers are the demographic that is the most likely to rent. In the Milwaukee area specifically, that encompasses 33.2% of the population, so nearly a third, which is just 1 percentage point lower than our study average of 34%, but still significant. So renters in the Milwaukee area should know that this area is populated with a large percentage of potential renters, including millennials and Gen Zers.
So do you think that the rents are going to remain competitive then?
I can just say that from 2023 to 2024, being the metro area that had the most significant increase in rental prices, that being $200, which is the highest study-wide, is significant. I can't say how that will look, unfortunately, in the coming years, but I can say that that was our most significant shift study-wide of the metro areas that we analyzed.
How can we access the report?
Yes, you can access our report on the Forbes Advisor website about the most and least competitive rental markets at www.forbes.com/advisor/renters-insurance/most-competitive-rental-markets.
All right, Alexandra. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, Libby.
It's 9:40, 48 degrees at WTMJ. It's 9:42. Well, Milwaukee Bucks sideline and digital reporter Melanie Ricks has been with the Bucks since she was just a 12-year-old junior dancer. Wow, and she moved up the ranks. I asked her how her career with the team has progressed.
My fourth year on the team, we got a new game night director. And I said to them, I'm studying broadcast journalism. I would love to be a host or do a talk show, do something one day. And they remembered that. So one day, our game director called me and he said, hey, Andrea's not going to be at the game tomorrow. Is there any chance that you'd be okay with filling in for her? And I'm like, absolutely, of course. You just let me know. And so literally, I filled in that game and I was like hosting in my little two-piece uniform, which is so crazy. I have a picture of it and everything. And it was a really big deal and they were so supportive. And then at the end of the season, when I had my like postseason review, they said to me, you can keep dancing, of course, but we would love for you to do a little bit more with hosting. And we think that you should maybe focus a little bit more on that.
Melanie is an amazing young lady, and she talks with me about the Bucks and her broadcast career, including her show on our sister station, The Truth, on WTMJ Conversations this morning at 11 a.m. Coming up at 9:44, it's Sports with Mike Spaulding right here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber One Call That's All Sports Desk. It isn't do or die today. However, tonight's Bucks game, it's a game four matchup between the Bucks and Pacers, will be a pivotal one for Milwaukee as they hope to avoid a 3-1 series hole in the opening round of the NBA playoffs. The Bucks will likely be shorthanded tonight. Both Giannis and Dame Lillard are nursing injuries, head coach Doc Rivers.
The series is as close as it possibly could be after three games, you know, when you think about it. I'll let you guys figure out the rest of that one. So, that's what we do. This is the playoffs, and things happen. Obviously, you don't want injuries to happen, but when they do, you have to just pull in for one game until you figure you get more guys back, and that's how you have to do it.
Coverage of tonight's game on WTMJ starts at 5:30. Around the NBA, LeBron James and the Lakers will live to play yet at least one more game. They topped the Denver Nuggets last night, 119-108. The Celtics, meanwhile, they topped the Heat. The Thunder dominate the Pelicans, and the Magic beat the Cavs. Moving on to Major League Baseball, the Brewers will try and put last night's 15-3 loss to the Yankees behind them. They have an opportunity to win that series today, no matter how bad last night looked. They did have a walk-off win on Friday. Manager Pat Murphy chalking up last night's loss to the game.
It's going to happen, I guess, you know, but I still thought there was some positives in there, and I'm going to look for that. 26 games in, it's the first time we've been beaten like that. We haven't had the winning run at the plate in the ninth inning. 26 games. So give these guys credit.
The Brewers now 17-9 on the season, still in first place in the NL Central. Coverage of today's game on WTMJ starts at noon with Brewers warm-up. First pitch set for just after 1 p.m. And in the NFL, the Packers adding 11 rookies to their ranks during this weekend's NFL draft. I'm Mike Spaulding, WTMJ Sports.
It's a muddy pause kind of day. It's going to rain all day, probably into the evening and even into tomorrow morning. Our high temperature today is only going to be 53 degrees. It's 48 at WTMJ at 948.
WTMJ, W277 CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Libby Collins on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It is 9:51, and the Dennis Sullivan left the Port of Milwaukee about 2 years ago. But there are still opportunities for students from the area to experience this beautiful ship. I talked with Holly Church from the Milwaukee Community Sailing Club on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline.
I'm excited to say that these seven kids came through our sailing programs. The kids received scholarship money to be able to go and do this trip and this event. There were seven kids who came back with their lives changed. It was just a really fun and exciting trip for them, and we're excited for a lot more.
And this week, you've got a program highlighting it, taking place at the Sailing Center.
We do. We have two people who are running the World Oceans School, which is out in Boston right now. And they are the ones who took over the Dennis Sullivan. Eden Leonard and Madeline Sandler will be joining us, and they'll be talking about what's happening with the boat. They'll be talking about what the kids who go down and do these trips are doing. They'll be helping us build momentum, basically, for more of these experiences on the Dennis Sullivan.
We mentioned these kids, and are there opportunities for students here coming up in the next year to also get involved in some of these sailing programs?
The Milwaukee Community Sailing Center, we have a huge outreach program where we work with many, many different agencies, schools, community organizations to bring kids down here, introduce them to sailing, and see if this is something that they would like to continue. We have all kinds of heavy scholarship programs that we can get kids into. There's all kinds of ways for us to involve children in our programs from the Milwaukee community. So we're always looking for kids who are interested in something like this.
And what age range are the students?
Our youth program that's participating with this World Oceans School are 12 to 17-year-olds. We do have a younger program for kids who are 8 to 11. They are in our Prams in the Park program. But that program is not participating in this particular Dennis Sullivan experience.
How can they get more information?
We'd love to hear from them. Our phone number, if anyone would like to just give us a call directly, is 414-277-9094. Our website is www.sailingcenter.org.
Is there any chance that the Dennis Sullivan will ever return to Milwaukee?
You know, I would never say never to anything. So who knows?
All right. You know? Holly Church from the Milwaukee Community Sailing Center. Great to talk with you today.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
Keep your fingers crossed. Wouldn't it be great to see that come back in? I'd love it. It's 9:54, and it's time to celebrate another everyday hero. Here's Eric Bilstead from Wisconsin Morning News.
Let's celebrate an everyday hero. This is when we honor the average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up that morning that they would be saving a life. Today, we're celebrating a local hero. AC Holland is just an eighth grader from Glendale. He goes to Glen Hills and was on the bus headed home when he noticed the bus pass his stop. He looked up and saw that the vehicle was starting to veer into the oncoming lane, the driver unresponsive. AC tells TMZ4 News that he knew he had to act.
I walked, see if she okay, and she ain't respond, so her foot was still on the gas. I scooted her over, moved her foot off the gas, and I just turned the wheel and pressed the brake at the same time.
AC was able to get the bus to stop. He told his classmates to call their parents. The driver was able to regain consciousness and call dispatch for help. An amazing act of heroism. AC's father laughs about when he heard the news.
First thing went through my mind is like, so wait, you drove a bus? And he, yeah.
Thanks to our everyday hero, AC, the eighth grader who saved the day. The best part about the story is that when he was being interviewed by TMZ4 News, he actually helped the TV crew, too.
He's an ace.
An ace even coming to the rescue for us this evening. The eighth grader helping jumpstart our news car when the battery died.
This kid can do everything. I'm Eric Bilstead. This is Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care.
Now that is a hero. He started the news car. That's great. I love it. Where's that kid when I need him? All right, 9:56. Oh, don't you love it? It is going to be rainy today. I mean, you're looking outside. It's raining now. It's going to rain later. It's probably going to rain all night and into early morning, and we won't see the sun again till probably Tuesday. But those temperatures, not getting too warm today. We're only going to get up to about 53 degrees, so well, just deal with it. It's 48 right now. Coming up after the news with Jessica, we've got Brian and David Wickard here. And, you know, there's been so much confusion about these mortgage rates. You hear, oh, they're just going up and it's going to affect all the housing market and everything. But guess what? Brian and David, they have such common sense. They're going to break it down in an easy way for us all to understand it, and it's not as bad as some of those headlines are making it out to be. And that's all on the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show right after the news on here at 10 o'clock. I'll be back at 11 o'clock, our conversation with Melanie Ricks, who, if you watch any of the Bucks games, you know she is that sideline reporter now. And What an amazing start to her career as a 12-year-old dancer for the Bucks, and she has just continued to grow in that role with the team, and it's exciting to hear what she's going to be doing next. And that's all today on WTMJ Conversations at 11 o'clock. I'm Libby Collins.